Thanks, Jason, and thanks, Anna. Let's maybe share for a couple more minutes before we close today. I just think both things that we've shared today or heard today already are so relevant and encouraging and challenging. I don't know how many of you know the story of Lilius Trotter, but she went to Algiers after being told she could be the greatest artist in the world by that art critic, but she laid it all down to serve the Lord. And she went there. And kind of like Jason said, she was made weak. Like, you think that in our human mind, you think of somebody giving up such a sacrifice to, say, lay aside being somebody really great as an artist. You're like, okay, surely then she'll become like an amazing, famous missionary. And she was in a way, but the reality is if you look at her life and truly study it, there wasn't a mass revival. Algiers as a nation didn't dramatically turn to the Lord. But what happened was she definitely fulfilled the calling to, as Jesus said, unless a kernel of wheat goes into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But she went there, and she went into the ground, and she died. Died to herself, died to her dreams of being a great artist. And what there was there was a handful. There's a handful of lives she influenced from England who had came and served with her. And there was a handful of lives, maybe more than a handful, but there was primarily a handful of lives that she influenced in Algiers, Algerians who had turned from being Muslims to faith in Jesus Christ, which is a miraculous thing. And if you know the details of what Algiers was like at that time, it was a miracle that anyone came to Christ. And I just reflect on it, and I think, well, is God's word true? Well, we know it is. So what do we know? I just believe when the final reckoning is done, there's going to be a great return from that seed going into the ground and dying. But she didn't get to see it. What she saw was a handful. But if those handful continue to serve the Lord and continue to walk in his ways, they tell some. And I don't know how many generations it's been, 5-6 generations since she was there. I just think there'll be a great reckoning on the final day of a life that went into the ground and died and was given fully to the Lord, forsaking its own ambitions. And I just think that those lives that she affected and those lives that she touched will have continued to touch lives and continued to reproduce after their own kind, such that we don't know. It's that God knows. He knows perfectly. But in our human eyes, we don't necessarily get to see it. But ultimately, there will be a reckoning. And I think the promise that if a seed goes into the ground and dies, we'll see that fruit and she'll get to see it. And it's just, I don't know, if you read that story, it's a neat one, but it's one you definitely have to read and read about believing in the promises of God and knowing what he says is true and knowing that a life lived for him is worthwhile, irrespective of necessarily whether we get to see all the results in our life or after. And I think it's the same as Jason shared about sowing into the lives of children, sowing into the lives of those around us. So often, we want results now. Human nature wants results now. Human nature wants to see something happen immediately based on our timing and our plans. And that's not God's ways. God wants us to trust him. He wants us to allow him to do the work. He wants us to come to a place where we're not relying on our own strength to make things happen, where we're truly dependent on him to see him make things happen and see our own lives be yielded to him. And you wouldn't necessarily see total alignment between the two topics already this morning, but I do in some of those truths. Maybe I'll just share really briefly from John chapter 17. I'm going to just pull out a couple verses starting in verse 6. But I was just encouraged by Jesus' prayer and just a truth that was coming through to me about some of the assurance we have in being children of God. And in verse 6 it says, I have manifested your name. Jesus is praying to his Father. So I have manifested the Father's name to the men who you gave me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. And the thing that stood out to me this morning and encouraged me was just the fact that Jesus said that those disciples that had followed Jesus, that had believed his word, that had kept his word, they were the fathers. And Jesus said there was a time where they were actually given to Jesus, but and Jesus kept them. But ultimately, they were the fathers. They were yours. And then he says it again here in verse 9. He says, I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all the things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world. And I come to you, Holy Father, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the scripture could be fulfilled. So here Jesus is praying and acknowledging that he's going to the Father, and ultimately these disciples who were his, the Father's in the first place, he's essentially saying they're going back to you, Father. I've been in the world and I've kept them, but now I'm going from the world and I want you to keep them, Father. And I was just encouraged by that. I was just thinking about the fact, like, if we could have Jesus here in our midst, and I know many of us have probably heard things like this or thought of them before, but for me it was kind of fresh this morning to think about the fact that if Jesus was here, if Jesus was the pastor of our little church here, we would think, like, surely that's the answer. Like, that is great. Like, if Jesus could be standing up here sharing with us, it would be wonderful. But we would say, like, yeah, surely that church, like, those folks will be kept and be secure and have the best. But Jesus says it's actually no. What's happening is he's actually going back to the Father and now asking the Father to keep them. They're yours, Father. You keep them now. And I know that that is actually better. So us here today actually have that best way of the Father keeping us, that Jesus was going back. And Jesus said, I was able to keep them so that none of them perished. So Jesus standing amongst them could keep them. How much more our Heavenly Father is able to keep us, able to cause us to stand, able to cause us to walk out this life, fulfilling that which he has for us. And what does he keep them from? Well, let's read a little bit more here. I'll just keep going. It says in verse 13, but now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have my joy made full in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. And then in verse 20 it says, I do not ask on the behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. And so what Jesus is praying here is that those who are in the world, which is us, the disciples at that time, and all who would eventually believe through their word, he's specifically praying that the Heavenly Father will take them, will keep them from the evil one, will preserve them, will watch over them, will sanctify them. He wants them to be, I skipped a verse there, but he says, sanctify them in your truth. We know those who have God's seed in them, there is a desire to be sanctified. There is a desire to be made righteous. You read about it in 1 John, this promise that those who are children of God do not practice sin, have this desire, have this seed in them that is compelling us, putting a burden within us that we could be changed into the image of Christ. And I just was reading this morning and saying, this is it. Jesus prayed it here. He prayed that we would be preserved from the evil one, that the Heavenly Father would keep us, that Jesus was there, he kept his disciples and we were there. But even more, now that he was going, he prayed that the Heavenly Father would keep those, that which is his. And we just think about that. If the God of the universe, our Father, if we are his, if we're in his protection, if we can say that this verse, that they are yours, that those who are born again have the seed of God with them in this body and in all the bodies are the Heavenly Father's, then surely he is able to keep and protect. Surely he is able to preserve in the face of a difficulty, in the face of adversity, in the face of whatever the evil one may throw at us. Jesus specifically prays that, that the Father would keep us from the evil one. Like, that is an assurance. As we see the world continuing to be conformed to the image of the evil one, conformed into the image of Satan, as we see different threats, different things coming up that may make us want to fret, we have this promise that Jesus prayed to the Father that we would be kept from the evil one. And I just was reading that this morning, and it just encouraged my heart. It just gave me an assurance that if I am my Heavenly Father's, Jesus prayed it, and his specific prayer was for those disciples and those who came after who believed through his word, that they would be kept by the Heavenly Father. They would be preserved from the evil one. That they would be sanctified. And there's other promises in here about being one and seeing God's glory. And I don't have time to get into all of them, but I was just encouraged by that this morning, that promise that we can know that we are, those who are born again, those who have God's seed in them, those who have been given the privilege of being called children of God, as it says in 1 John, have this promise that the Heavenly Father is there to keep us, is there to cause us to endure to the end, to finish this race, to walk this walk. And Jesus prayed that, and that was his desire for the disciples. That was his desire for the disciples when he was leaving, that they would be kept from the evil one. It's his promise to us now, and I was just encouraged by that this morning. It's just a brief thing, but it was just refreshing to me. And we read through 1 John on Friday nights, and I'm not going to get into it today, but if you're sitting here going, well, who does that apply to, or how do I know, how do I have that confidence? Well, read through 1 John. 1 John tells us the promises and the evidence of being those who are born again, those who are born of the Heavenly Father, those who've been given the privilege of being called children of God. And having been given that privilege, if we know we've been given that privilege, if we know that his seed is in us because he's changing us and helping us and conforming us to his image, if we know that his seed is in us, then we can rest in these promises. We can take assurance from these promises that we are his, and that his guarding us and keeping us from the evil one is something that it's a rock that we can build on and build our lives on and trust in. And I was just encouraged by that this morning.